Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. So we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for being with us here on the DA Show. There's so many ways that you can listen, that you can watch, that you can interact with the show. You can listen across the wonderful CBS Sports Radio Network. You can always listen on your phone as well using the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app or on Apple Music. And you can watch at watchda.com on any device. We're rocking and rolling right through a wonderful show here. We've had so many amazing guests already. MMA legend Randy Couture joined us in studio in the first hour of the show. That was awesome. We had Kentucky head coach Mark Stoops join us. Kentucky is number 14 in the country, and they're looking, with a couple of wins, to be inside that SEC title game, if possible. He joined us last hour on the show. We've got Dennis Scott joining us from Turner Sports and NBA TV on the start of the season. And we were supposed to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in this segment. He got pushed back. We will have one of the greatest athletes in American sports history join us a little bit later on in the hour. It'll push that back a few minutes. So stick around for that later on in this hour. As always, you can hit us up on the phone. That's a toll-free line at 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. So last night, the big story, LCS in Houston. And the home run that was not. And by now, I'm sure you've seen the play. If not, Jose Altuve down 2-0 in the bottom of the first inning already. The Red Sox had put up two in the top of the first against, as Mraz would say, Uncle Rufus, Charlie Morton. 2-0, Altuve has a man on, smacks a ball into right field. It appears to be into the stands, home run, although the ball bounces out of the stands and onto the field. But it appears to be a game-tying home run, and just like that, it's 2-2. But Joe West, a controversial umpire, calls at the moment, fan interference, Altuve out. Home run, no good. Was it? Was it not? Joe West went to the replays, could not find conclusive evidence that it was not fan interference, and said, still no home run. Lo and behold, two-run home run wiped off the board. The Astros lose by 2-8-6. Now, I give A.J. Hinch credit. I give a lot of those Astros credit. They didn't hang their hat on that play. They said there was a lot of baseball left. We left so many runners on base. We botched a couple plays in the outfield. We didn't lose the game there. But it's an enormous moment in an enormous game because that's a two-run home run wiped off the board. To me, it was a home run. I believe it was a home run. I believe it was over the yellow line and into the stands. And as long as it's over the yellow line and into the stands, the fans have every right to that, the same as Mookie Betts does. It's a great athletic play for Betts to get into that play. It's a wonderfully timed leap. He's incredibly nimble and agile. He probably makes that play if the fans aren't there. However, that's not the question. The fans, once that ball is in the stands and over the yellow line, have every right to the ball as he does. And I don't think it was interference because I think that was a home run as it crossed the yellow line. I think the Astros got jobbed there, and I believe the Red Sox caught a break. In defense of Joe West, I did not think there was conclusive evidence on a replay that it definitely was a home run. I believe it was, but if you're Joe West, you're going, I just don't have a clear enough evidence that my first call was the wrong call. I think it's kind of silly. We don't have cameras stationed in the fair poles, and I call them fair instead of foul poles because if the ball hits those poles, it's fair, not foul. You should have them stationed there looking down the lines, up the walls, the home runs. I know it's not perfect because the walls do curve and there's certain angles that different outfields take, but it would be better than nothing. But I think that was a home run and the Red Sox caught a break, which is kind of amazing because I mentioned this with the Chicago Cubs. We're in a really weird alternate universe where forever you just assumed things would go against the Red Sox and the Cubs. In October, they always did. You could set your watch to them. And now, they seem to go for those two teams. Certainly the Red Sox more than the Cubs. The Red Sox are looking at a fourth World Series championship since 2004. For 86 years, the Red Sox won none. None rings. None championships. Zero. Nada. Zilch. Zero. The big O, 86 years. We think the Browns have had it bad. They're only on 54 years. 86 years, no championship. And the Red Sox have three in the last 14 years, and with one more win, would be the overwhelming favorite going into the World Series as well. Now you assume things go right for them. And man, what type of karma does the city of Boston have? The Red Sox are getting breaks, a win away from another World Series championship, a win away from another World Series appearance, rather. The Celtics are everybody's pick to come out of the Eastern Conference. Hell, some people are saying that they're the next dynasty, that they're going to be stacking championships. The New England Patriots can't be killed. They were also the beneficiaries of a little bit of good luck through the years. Certainly last year, the Jesse James play. The diving catch by Edelman and the comeback against the Falcons. Things go their way more often than they don't. And the Bruins are really good. I mean, it's amazing the positive energy sports-wise that is just never-ending around Boston. Never-ending. And last night it continues. The break goes the Red Sox way, and now they're up 3-1 and will take a hell of an effort by the Astros to climb back from down 3-1 with two of those having to come in Fenway Park in 6 and 7 if they even get that far. And not only was the Altuve play unbelievable, but how about the final play of the game? Can we play that final call here, guys? Because this moment, Red Sox lead 8-6. The Astros, bottom nine, have loaded the bases with two out. And here is a little line drive looping and falling in left field, and left fielder Andrew Benintendi dives for the Red Sox. Note, if Benintendi doesn't get to this ball, he is diving. He's not keeping it in front of him. He is going all out. If he misses this, if he has miscalculated his dive, if it goes under his glove, he has made the worst play ever, because the Astros are going to clear the bases and win that game in a walk-off. He dives and
Kimbrel comes to the set. Outfielder step to the right to pitch. Swing and a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
The Red Sox win! The Red Sox win.
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Oh, wow. What a catch by Andrew Benintendi. And they're not going to review it. Unbelievable. What a play. And the Red Sox lead the series 3-1.
Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. Guys, how do we think this went down? He said head over heels. Does that mean he said Red Sox win, basically? Benintendi catches it and then tipped back in his rolling chair and fell backwards with his headset on?
My guess is he jumped up to see the play. The catch happens. He's amazed. Maybe his chair is a rolly chair. As he goes to sit back, the chair is rolling backwards, and he goes down on his buttocks, if you will, and his legs kind of fly up in the air, and he has to get himself back up.
Okay, so you think the chair gets out from under him. He tries to sit back down to finish the call.
Right, and you know how, like,
falls right on his butt.
Basically, yeah, falls on his butt. His legs go up in the air. You hear the clunking around, and he has to pick himself back up, back onto the table.
Okay, so you don't think he tips backwards in the chair?
No, I just don't understand the physics of how that would even be possible.
If it's not a rolly chair, it's possible. If it's just four legs, you can tip back. You're so excited, your weight goes all the way back, like you're kind of jumping up a little bit in your seat.
I picture a rolly chair and that giving out to me.
Bilotti, how does this happen? Castiglione ends up on the floor.
I think it's involving him standing to look at the play, and he's either slipping on something on the floor, or he's either slipping on, like, maybe holding the desk. And he slips on and his hand gives out, and the paper makes him slip and fall back. I don't think it's forward, because forward would be out the window.
Right.
I think it's backwards, like Sean said.
Okay. So Castiglione falls down. And remember, this comes on the heels of John Sterling, who wants to do the Yankees win and hits his elbow on the desk.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yank. Ow. I hit my arm. Oh. Yankees win.
I love the I hit my arm. Oh.
Oh.
That's my favorite part. Like, he's trying to get back into the call and says, oh.
You know when you hit your funny bone there, you have no other reaction but, oh.
I hit my arm. Oh.
I hit my arm. Oh.
Oh.
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Oh.
That Krusty the Clown laugh.
The Red Sox are up 3-1. Benintendi came up with a play. That was definitely a home run that they robbed from the Astros. This is 4 championships in 14 years for me.
Ha. Ha. Worst 108 win team ever.
Oh. Ha. Ha. Oh.
Ha.
Oh.
Ha. Ha.
Oh.
Ha. Ha.
Oh.
Ha. Ha.
Oh.
Ha. Ha.
Ha. Oh.
Oh.
Okay. When we come back here on the show, Dennis Scott's going to join us the first couple of nights of the NBA season. All right, now in the books, how about how bad the Rockets defense looked last night and how good the Celtics looked in night number one against the Sixers? We'll discuss that coming up with Dennis Scott from NBA TV next. And then later on this hour, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Cooking is the right word because you and Mraz being Madden and Gruden in their prime.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
John Gruden does not look like he's anybody you want to be compared to right about now. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show's best video clips from the simulcast available on YouTube every single day. So just simply search the DA show on YouTube as well as CBS Sports Radio. You'll find them there. And on Facebook, plus we included now on Facebook more than 200 pictures of our trip to Boise, Idaho a couple of weeks ago for our wonderful affiliate there, 93.1 The Ticket, and all of the D-Aliens in Boise that came out to say hello. So your picture might be on there. Go check it out and just see the proceedings and everything that Mraz ate. That's our photo album on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Our next guest is working the sideline reporting during the season debut of Players Only coverage at NBA TV. Coming up Monday at 7 p.m. with a doubleheader, Magic and Celtics and Spurs and Lakers. And tune into the NBA on TNT tonight at 8 p.m. for a doubleheader, including exclusive live coverage of LeBron's L.A. debut. Blazers and Lakers at 10:30 Eastern time. It's Dennis Scott who joins us on the show. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I am good. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. Feeling great. Your football season's getting crunk up. NBA season's back. All these new faces and new places. I'm excited.
That's what I'm talking about. And last night, one of the new faces for the Rockets, Carmelo, did not have a good day. Missed his final six shots. Came off the bench. The Rockets got mowed down by the Pelicans. How do you think Carmelo off the bench fits in with the Rockets over the course of the season?
I think it's going to work. I just think that it's going to take a little more time than one game. And I think also that Melo has to realize that this is a different Melo in his career, and he's playing the system that's up and down. And when guys are free-flowing like that, you're kind of looking over your shoulder like, how do I get Melo involved but still play within the system? So I think it's still a work in progress.
We were just talking about the Celtics in that preview of what you guys got going on NBA TV, and that's Magic and Celtics coming up at the doubleheader on Monday, and the Celtics looked great in getting by the Sixers in their home opener, in the opener the other night. Now, I wonder about the Celtics. Do you buy into the argument that the Celtics, at their best, can knock off or at least challenge the Warriors in the NBA Finals if they got that far?
I believe if they continue to stay healthy, that's the key. We saw this young team grow up before our eyes throughout the playoffs last year. Now you're adding two bona fide all-stars and a champion in Hayward and Kyrie Irving. In one game so far, I was impressed that Kyrie did not shoot the ball particularly well, but understood that everyone else, particularly second-year player Jason Tatum, was playing well and let him carry the ball game. If things like that happen throughout the year, yes, I take the Celtics series.
Interesting. Now, how about the Sixers on that side of the coin? There's still question marks about Markelle Fultz. The Sixers say he's fixed the jump shot. He's confident. He's ready to go. Are you buying that?
Nope, not buying it at all. As an athlete, you obviously want to have your own confidence and you want your team and you want your franchise to believe in you. But to throw you in the starting lineup to make you feel good knowing that it's not the best thing for the team. Taking J.J. Redick out of the starting lineup was not good for basketball spacing. So until Markelle Fultz truly shows us he's worked on his jump shot and he's making it nightly, the defense is not going to honor him. They're going to suck into the lane and make more problems for Embiid and Ben Simmons for driving and being able to operate. You need more shot makers around those two guys to create space.
Dennis Scott joins us from NBA TV and Turner Sports here. Lakers and Blazers, as we mentioned tonight, you'll see our first chance at LeBron regular season debut in that Laker uniform. It's still kind of hard to be comfortable still with LeBron. It looks kind of weird with him in that Laker uniform. What do you think the top-end potential is for LeBron and this Lakers team this year?
You know what? I think it's really, really high. And here's why. Everywhere LeBron's gone, when he left Cleveland the first time, went to Miami, obviously he had D-Wade, Bosh, and I think he improved them 18 wins. He goes back to Cleveland, it's like 20 wins. So you're asking yourself, which one guy or two guys, is it Brandon Ingram along with Kuzma? Do both of those guys blow up this year? We know the veterans. We know what Rondo and Lance Stephenson and Jarrell McGee. They're veterans. We know what they bring to the table. It's about those two young guys. How fast do they grow while LeBron James continues to be LeBron James? Now, think about this for a second. In year 16, we're looking at a guy with so much basketball on his resume to go into a historic franchise like the Lakers and say he's going to take them back to promise. That is mind-boggling to me, what LeBron James has done for the NBA, what he's done for himself, and now he still has so much left in the tank to teach a new group of guys how to win.
Do you think that Jimmy Butler of Minnesota is tenable right now? I mean, do they have to trade him to avoid what's going on? Can they withstand what's going on right now, the turmoil, and get into the season and be a normal team?
Fouled up. But when you just listen to all the chitter tatters going on, how can a young team handle all this drama and they haven't even learned how to win yet? So to answer your question once again, I think you may have to move him, get the best thing you can get before the trade deadline gets here, because you know you're building around Wiggs and Cat for the future.
Do you understand where Jimmy Butler's coming from, where he looks at other teammates and says, you're not given as much as I am? Or do you think this is kind of an immature act by Butler?
I think it's a mixture of both. We understand where he's coming from because we saw how hard he worked to get to where he is. Let's go ahead and educate some of your new listeners. No one knew who Jimmy Butler was when he came out of college. That's why he was the last pick in the first round. And then that Chicago team was so injured that year, Coach Thibodeau said, hey, we need you to play 40, 45, and 48 minutes a night. He did that. Jimmy Butler was a defensive-minded guy first. He proved and worked on his offense. Now he's a two-way player. So all the things that he's expressing, we agree. It's about how you're going about it. That's where we disagree.
Dennis Scott, NBA TV, joining us here on the show. Now, NBA TV's got a great setup coming up on Monday at 7 p.m., a doubleheader, Magic and Celtics and Spurs and Lakers, the season debut of players-only coverage, which is always fun. Tune into the NBA on TNT tonight at 8 p.m., doubleheader including exclusive live coverage of LeBron's L.A. debut. It's Blazers and Lakers at 10:30. And you can always get connected with Dennis Scott's lifestyle brand. That's 3DLifestyleBrand.com. And it has come to my attention that I've got a T-shirt on the way from you guys.
Yeah, actually, you have two T-shirts.
Oh, all right.
I owe you a Shooter's Paradise T-shirt from last year.
Okay.
So I owe you that one. Now I'm going to send you a spanking brand new Players Only Baby T-shirt to go along with it because you've been so patient because – normally, I don't turn the ball over, but I turned the ball over last year. I owe you a T-shirt. So you have two T-shirts coming, my friend.
Bribery will get you everywhere, Dennis Scott. You're always welcome here on the show. You can follow Dennis on Twitter, at Dennis3DScott. It's always good to catch up, brother. Thanks so much, man.
Anything for you, bro. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Dennis Scott joining us today here on the show. Very cool. I appreciate that from him. Now, we have also got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scheduled to join us in the final segment of the show. He was supposed to join us in the first segment of this hour, however, had to bump it back with his radio tour, so we'll get to him coming up in a couple of minutes from now. You can always hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. We were talking about the San Diego Chargers moving to L.A. and now being a disaster because already you have NFL owners who are discussing internally what to do with the Chargers. That they're already dropping their projected revenue from $400 million by moving to L.A. to $150. And that they know a brand new stadium where the Rams are going to play is going to be basically empty for all Chargers game. What do they do? Keep an eye out on the London rumors, because Shad Khan, owner of the Jaguars, has backed out on purchasing Wembley Stadium. And it makes you wonder if maybe he got the high sign for the owners. If we move a team there, the Chargers would be it to get out from the embarrassment of what's going on in L.A. But there's no doubt they were greed-stricken. They had dollar bills in their eyes. They didn't realize the reality, and it's not going to change. L.A. doesn't want the Chargers. They made a crucial mistake, and now they look like bozos. So when we come back, scheduled to be joined by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throwback Thursday, and this injury report is brought to you by the Salt Institute. Let's take a look at the latest injuries. Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins quarterback, ruled out for Week 7 against the Lions this weekend. Shoulder injury, which kept him out last week. That means another start for Brock Osweiler. It's Brocktober around here. And Dalvin Cook, the Vikings running back, expected to play coming back after a hamstring injury. Boy, he has not been able to be healthy at all in his two seasons in the NFL, but he'll try to right the ship health-wise Sunday against the Jets. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume. And that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything is better with a little salt. Find out why at a littlesalt.org. And our toll-free line, as always, 855-212-4227. That's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar join us here on the show, which is a total thrill, coming up here in just a few minutes. So let's get to your epic fail of the morning first. And that is huge freeze, unable to make his picks in studio again.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I think Stanford gets the job done, -2.5 in Tempe.
Okay, in studio right now, we are dying laughing because Cap, back on the website, the simulcast, has made a graphic for Huge Freeze that says, Mr. Freeze.
I was sitting in the railway station, had a ticket for my destination.
And it's Robbie's fat face on Mr. Freeze's body from one of the Batman movies with George Clooney. He's on the Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze character.
What a disgrace.
It's great.
And I know I keep saying this. This is like the boy who cried wolf. But I will try my darndest to be in studio next week. Love you guys.
Get him out.
All right.
Get him out.
Get him out. Get him out.
Get him out.
All right. That was a grind. We could have edited all of that down to just get to his picks and his singing. But okay. So we're finally through that.
Had Texas Tech and Kingsbury. Had LSU and Death Valley.
Finally through that.
Come on.
I'm letting him sit there and burn.
7 weeks. He's only been in studio three of them. Traveling, overnight shifts.
Kicker missed for the Huskies. A 2-in-1 week for Huge Freeze.
Somebody got hit by a train. It never ends. It never ends. We had a push for Mraz. So now it's Mraz leads Robbie 9-8-1 to 8-10. Of course we had a push to just make everything so much harder.
It's the NFC West of years ago.
Homeward bound. All right, I'll stop there, but you get the picture.
Runaway train, never look back.
And
this show is so stupid sometimes. It's making me stupider and everybody else.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
What to say? What to say? The pendulum swings dramatically every day here on the show, from smart to really stupid. John tweets, DA, the NFL operates like a wildcatter, drilling holes, pumping out all the oil, and moving on. I guess it shouldn't be surprising with Jera's background. So one thing, man, it's a great product. I love football to my very being. I love NFL Sundays. I love college football. But boy, the NFL's owners and where their morality is at really makes it hard to ever completely embrace that league. Paul tweets, say what you want, but the Sox are steamrolling everybody, guys. Well, they're one win away from yet another World Series. Joining us here on the show is a great honor personally in my career. I am so thrilled to have our next guest here on the show. He's a six-time NBA champion and a six-time NBA MVP. He's a Basketball Hall of Famer. He is by some considered the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's also an author, a cultural ambassador, a social activist, and most importantly, he's a thinker. It's been really amazing to read his work over the last couple of years in all of the turmoil our country has been through. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joining us this morning on the show. Kareem, good morning.
Good morning. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you as well. Thanks so much for joining us. And you've got a memorabilia auction benefiting your Skyhook Foundation, which provides educational opportunities for underserved communities. And there's some really cool stuff on here. I mean, there's a Little League trophy of yours from the 50s. There's All-Star yeah. Game uniform from 1970. I saw a School Safety Patrol Award of Merit from 1961, which is amazing. And then there's a couple of NBA championship rings. And I wondered, how did you choose which rings you'd be able to part with for this auction?
It's been a very difficult process. But it's great to be working, you know, with the people at Golden Auctions. That's goldenauctions.com. They are very experienced. They know what they're doing, and they've helped me sort everything out. And this month will be a very interesting month for me to see how well we do.
It's amazing. Some of the stuff on there is just absolutely amazing. You know, you came into the NBA when it was not a players' league. It was an owners' league. And by the time you left, it had become a players' league with Magic and Larry and so many other stars of the 1980s. Did you notice that evolution of the NBA was happening under your feet as you were playing? Because now the player is completely empowered.
I think the real change, I noticed what was going on because after the decision for the Oscar Robertson suit, you know, that gained us free agency,
yeah.
I knew that eventually the players would be in a real good position because you can't have the games without the talented guys out there on the court. And, you know, no matter how much money you got, that doesn't make you an athlete. So the players will always have that power, and I think that's a good thing.
I read a Q&A that you did recently with the Palm Springs Desert Sun, and in it you kind of noted that you didn't have to be great friends with Magic Johnson to be great teammates and for it to work. That really, you know, Magic was 12 years younger than you, and it was him and Jerry Buss who were so close. By the end of your career, when you're up there in age and everybody else is younger, do you have friends in that locker room, or do you reach a point in your career where you're kind of going solo with it at that point?
No, I always had friends, and, you know, Magic and I had a good relationship. You know, we didn't hang out every night together, but, you know, the interpersonal relationships on the Lakers were always, we all got along. It was definitely about family, you know. So despite the gaps in age, you know, there was a lot of respect and appreciation for the guys that helped us win, and that's why we were together.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. In your piece for The Guardian, which noted, and we've all kind of celebrated the 50th anniversary of John Carlos and Tommy Smith's protest of the medal stand of the 68 Olympics, you brought up that there was a disagreement at that time, not just racially between whites and blacks on what Smith and Carlos did, but also between conservative whites and conservative blacks, or conservative whites and liberal whites, and it was not just a racial decision between the two. Do you think the same thing holds up now for modern athlete social causes? Do you think that there is a split amongst races within each cause, and it just doesn't go, well, black people feel like this and white people feel like that?
I think that, it's pretty, it's very... there's a great variance in how people feel, and there's no way to predict how people are going to come down on it on any of those subjects that you just mentioned. You will find a big variation from people of all different backgrounds, socioeconomic and racial.
You know, we live in a very tumultuous time politically and socially, and it conjures up images of the 1960s. Do you feel like there are parallels? You lived through both, and you were active in both. And
yeah, I think
do you feel it?
I think the thing that split our nation down the middle before what you were talking about had to do with the Vietnamese situation. You know, the Vietnam War. That split our country, and now it's more about certain people having a nostalgia for a time when if you were a white person, you had an advantage just for being white. That's not very common now. That's something that can't continue to exist because our country is now very racially diverse. So white supremacy is not something that's going to fly, and some people are upset about it. But, we have to move forward.
So some people would say that racism now, or race relations, is fractured and broken, maybe the worst ever. Do you feel that way, or do you feel like we have made significant progress since what we're talking about here, the 50s, 60s, and before?
Well, certainly there's been progress because we can clearly see that people's value has to do with their intellect and where they're coming from morally. You know, the color of your skin doesn't make you a good person. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's really a non-relative aspect of somebody's persona. You know, you judge the people that you have to deal with on the basis of the quality of their humanity. And that's the only reliable thing that we have to determine that.
You were alongside Muhammad Ali as he was fighting against the Vietnam War and being drafted and everything that encapsulated that time for him. He was very unpopular amongst a lot of circles of America back then, and you were beside him during a lot of that. Do you find it ironic that now he is so beloved and that everybody kind of roundly applauds him and what he stood for at that time?
Well, I think, we eventually reach a position of wisdom, and we can see where Muhammad Ali was correct in his assessment of what was happening in those days. And, you know, most people don't want to identify with something that's incorrect. So, America feels good now about embracing Muhammad Ali because he was right. And I think that as we figure out what's right and wrong with various situations, we'll come to a right decision. That seems to happen all the time in this country.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, Bill Walton idolizes you, and he was shy and had a stutter when he was growing up. He was on our show last year, and I think in a 16-minute span, I got two questions in. Two questions, because he couldn't stop talking. Can you ever get a word in edgewise when you talk to Bill?
Well, you can if you use the shoehorn. But that's the only way.
I figured maybe you, because he idolizes you, you'd be able to speak and he would listen. But I wonder if maybe that doesn't work for anybody.
I don't think it works for anybody. You know, he wouldn't, Coach Wooden couldn't get him to shut up. So, I'm very, very much less than Coach Wooden. So I wouldn't try it.
Are you happier now than when you were younger?
Yeah, I think so, because you as you live your life, you figure out what really counts, and you get to understand what actually makes you happy.
Skyhook Foundation helps give educational opportunities for underserved communities, and the auction at goldenauctions.com right now, a spectacular collection, has so many amazing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Lew Alcindor items, amongst other things as well. I got to tell you, whoever gets that School Safety Patrol Award of Merit from 1961 is going to have the most amazing item of your career on their wall.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the whole idea of me doing this is to give my kids a chance at developing a shot that can't be blocked. And I'm talking about their education. So, that's what's important. So, you know, that's what I'm doing this for. You know, campskyhook.org, that's where the money will go, and that's what will enable me to give these kids what they need. And I just want to, you know, thank you for helping me connect with the people that will, participate in the auction and help this happen.
Well, it's our pleasure and our honor, truly. The website is goldenauctions.com. That's where all the auction items are. You're talking about the 1971 Bucks NBA championship ring, the 1982 Lakers NBA championship ring. One of the things I love, the UCLA Letterman sweater is on there as well. All-Star Game uniform, framed and beautiful, from 1970. It's all such cool stuff. And again, it benefits the Skyhook Foundation. GoldenAuctions.com. That's GoldenAuctions.com. Kareem, this was truly an honor to have you here on the show. I wish you all the best of luck with the auction, and I thank you so much for taking time out for us today.
Thank you so much, and remember, the auction ends October 27th, so, you know, get everybody in there before that.
Yeah. October 27th, get them in there. Thanks, Kareem.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joining us this morning on the show. You know, I love reading what he has to say because he's been through so much of the evolution of society and been at the forefront of activism for a long time, dating back to, you know, in the 1960s when athletes were fighting for certain rights, and not only within their sports, but in society in general. And now still writing and discussing what is happening culturally here in this country. I find it to be a really cool touchstone and a really cool source of wisdom. So nice to have him here on the show. And can you imagine, I mean, bidding on Kareem's Little League trophy? That is available. That just seems to me to be the coolest thing ever. You can get his award of merit from being a school safety patrolman in middle school. You can bid on that. That seems amazing to me. That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Great way to head out to the end of the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com on the simulcast, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, a fabulous Friday, which will include NC State head coach Dave Doran and Mraz's Football Food of the Week. DA, CBS Sports, the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.